Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
It's 101.9 Chai FM. We hear many stories about teachers who bully. We remember two types of teachers when we look back, I think, in our lives. We remember the ones that inspire us, and we remember the ones that bullied us. Why is it that teachers bully? Well, I'm asking you, why do you bully if you are a bullying teacher? 34519 or 0618951019. Do you know that you bully? David Abramson is a psychologist in private practice. David, do they know that they bully? Are they aware of it? Or do they think they're actually being nice, being kind? I don't know. What goes on in the mind of a bullying teacher?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's so important to how it first start off by trying to define what bullying is, because I think it's so misunderstood. You know, you often hear, people saying I've been bullied or my child's been bullied. But I think, and certainly these other situations, like for example, where you have an argument with someone or a disagreement, or maybe you're not included in a game, you know, it's distressing, but that's not bullying. And really, when we talk about bullying, we're talking about like an orchestrated and conscious act, really and its aim is to isolate a person from others. So often there's a substantial power differential, and that's exactly what we have in the classroom, where we have a teacher who is giving out marks, who is imparting information, is so in control, and it really does set up, a perfect situation where bullying can happen because of this power differential. Why do teachers do it? I think it's not only teachers. I think we find it in corporations, in organizations. We find it in so many situations. But I think it all comes down to, the person. And I think that would, often people say, I need justify it. I need to do it because these kids are naughty or they're out of control but the bottom line is that often it's about what's happening for that person at the time. For that teacher, because that's a person who lives outside the classroom, whether they're under a lot of stress, under a lot of pressure, and come into the classroom and have no patience. But it also then comes down to a personality, of course, that is a person who's experienced things on their own, whether it's in their own childhoods, whether it's growing up, that have learned, that is the way to deal with things. And it's often, not always, but it's often people who have felt powerless or excluded, themselves growing up or even as adults. And it's really an acting out in the classroom, a way of asserting one's control or overcompensating for areas where they don't feel in control in other parts of their lives.
The problem is that you have one person potentially who's, as you say, feeling out of control, but I think in many ways is a little bit damaged, because you shouldn't be you have to be damaged in some way to be taking it out on kids, just to be real. Now you're bringing whatever baggage you have with you into the classroom and to people who are, as you say, a lot less empowered than you are, who might be young and therefore don't really understand what's going on, could think it's them, could get all the wrong messages from this. We can't expect the kids at young ages to have the sophistication to understand that this is actually about them but not about me. How do we deal with that? And how do we know when it's a problem? Because, as parents, we often think of our kids as being these little angels. Sometimes they don't behave. So there is, I would imagine, a spectrum.
Yes. Yeah. No, absolutely. But I think for me, the whole idea around bullying is about isolation, isolating the person who is being bullied. And the idea is to keep that person feeling alone and powerless. But very important is voiceless. The bully wants, or the bullies need, in this example with the child is made to feel like if they talk, they're not going to be heard, or if they do talk, there's going to be a serious consequence for them talking. And there's very few emotionally damaging situations that really top this, because you feel alone. You feel like you don't matter. So I think to answer your question, it really, really is about helping children to find a voice, you know, to speak out. And that's so important. So whether they feel like they are being bullied or not, it's just so important that they are able to go to a caregiver, you know, someone who is an authority, someone that they can trust, to go and talk about it. And yes, as you say, it's very difficult for, especially for younger children, to discern what is bullying. Maybe the child is misbehaving in some ways. But I think for me, it's so important that the child is taught to not feel isolated, to never feel that they're alone. And no matter how small or how intimidated they feel, that they can and must go speak to others about what is happening. Because I think then there can be clarification, you know. So I think when there's a lack of communication, a lack of interaction between parents, for example, in this situation, and the school, or from the pupil and anyone else, any other adult, that's just, you know, really, that's just fertile ground for bullying. And bullying is, it's serious. It's, you know, I see so many kids who become depressed, think of suicide. And unfortunately, we've seen over the last, you know, few days, actually then at times take their lives, which is absolutely tragic.
As a parent, what is our role? I mean, we know that our role is to protect our children. You know, we always had this thing that if we could get our kids through school with their self-esteem intact, then we have achieved really great things. But what are parents meant to do?
Well, I think, again, it's very much about communication. And I know it sounds like a cliche, but you know, it is so important to keep the communication open with your children. So I think that's the first thing. And then the second thing is communication open with the school. Don't be afraid to have meetings with the school. Often, you know, go face-to-face, not only just calling the school, you know, wanting to speak to your teacher, your children's teachers, interact with them on a regular basis. But I do think for me, it's interesting how, you know, us as humans, even if we don't speak, often there are telltale signs, you know, that actually come out physically. So I would say, you know, if your child is in distress, they won't be, you know, there's certain things that will change in their behavior, like their eating. You know, their patterns of eating will change. They'll eat more or less than they usually do. Or their sleeping will be disrupted. Their marks will drop, their concentration, that even maybe, you know, would not want to go to school. You know, they start refusing to go to school. Or they become, especially teenagers, irritable and more isolated. And not wanting to do the things that they normally want to do, that they really enjoy. So I think for me, you know, it's really, as I say, twofold. One is about really communicating with your child and with the school on a regular basis. And I would say even face to face, but also watch your child. And if you see, even if they're not saying anything, that, you know, a couple of these things are happening. Mm-hmm. Like the child loses his appetite for a day or two, or, you know, or isn't, has a bad night here or there, that's not significant. But if you see a pattern, then no matter what they're saying, that everything's okay, it's so important to check things out. Mm-hmm. And school is often a very good place to start, because we spend so much time at school as children.
Absolutely. Laura Jeske says, hi, Howard, it's Laura. I hope you are well. They bully because they themselves don't feel secure about themselves. And adult sets examples, not follows the crowd. And that is true. I'd love to hear from listeners. How have you dealt with bullying in terms of your own children, if you have seen that, if you have seen a teacher bullying the child? I've told the story many times before of my own experience. I was in grade standard 2, so what is that, grade 4, and I was caned with the principal's belt in front of us in the assembly for apparently talking on the bus. I've always been a bit of a talker, guys. It is just one of those things, and apparently my name was written down. He called me out of the in front of the school in morning lineup and caned me with his, he took off his belt and he hit me, and it was devastating as a kid. And I remember that feeling of isolation, but I also know that when I got home and I told my mother about the story, she drove to his apartment, barged into his bedroom where he was sleeping because he had a headache, took his pillow and started hitting him over the head with it, and said to him, if you ever touch my child again, I will kill you. And that the fact that she did that meant sent me a very clear message about how unacceptable his behavior was, and obviously the incident was traumatic and remains with me for the rest of my life, but it also didn't do the damage that it could have potentially done.
Absolutely. Well, I think for me, because your mom was so amazing, she you know, there was someone who protected you, who made sure that you knew that this was completely unacceptable, and took it up in a very unique way. As your
okay,
mom
unique. It was unique. It was unique. I don't think it's recommended for everybody necessarily. It's not what I would recommend of the general path of action.
Start with a phone call to the principal and go from there.
Absolutely. So, but David, I think to me, maybe that is what's important, is letting the child know that it's not okay and that the other person is the problem, not you.
Yeah. You know, I've heard so many situations, you know, because bullying can look so different in so many kind of, like, in the school environment. I've heard of a teacher coming into a class and reading out children's reports, you know, like the actual reports. And children kind of know when something doesn't feel right. They know. And I think it's so important that, as we say, it's all about education. And again, it sounds like a cliche, you know, when we say, especially coming from a psychologist, when we say communication, speaking up, having a voice, these are fundamental when it comes to, you know, these situations, because it is about that power differential. When you stood up on that, you know, in that assembly, I mean, the power, and you were belted by your principal, the power differentiation is just ginormous. And I think for me, by isolating you or isolating someone who's being bullied, it just exacerbates that dynamic. And really, that's what bullies want. Bullies want you to feel isolated so that power dynamic can continue. So the best way is to help your child to have a voice. And I think I often hear parents say to children, which I think is a wonderful thing, is no matter what's happening, I will not judge you. No matter what is going on in your life, whether you're stuck in a situation, you know, where you feel uncomfortable, and I'm not going to ask you any questions how you got there. Or if you're in a situation at school, I'm not going to judge you.
Absolutely. David, we do need to, unfortunately, leave it there. Javi says, so nice to hear David on air again. Tip says, go your mom. That's a horrific experience from a principal. Wow. It is David Abramson, psychologist in private practice, talking to us about bullying. It is 7:31. I'm Howard Feldman. Good morning.